Hola, Jumbo e Cabo. Welcome to the Rich Immigrant Podcast. This podcast was created to be what the next immigrant needs to thrive and what we need as an immigrant community. In this podcast, we talk about attaining financial independence, living full lives in the new countries we call home, and we'll do all that while talking about topics that pertain to the immigrant community all over the world. We'll do that with grace, with truth, with love, and yes, with great background music. So please, dance into every podcast episode with me. I'm Diola Teru, and I'm your host. Welcome. Welcome to the podcast. This is episode 38 of the Rich Immigrant Podcast, and I'm so sorry I'm coming to you late, and I missed an episode last week. It was just crazy with work. Like, it was mad. There was no way I could put out an episode. But anyway, we're here today. We're back. It's just after Thanksgiving, and I'm bringing a topic that I think we need to talk about, because we've heard a lot, you know, about the Great Resignation. We've heard about, or some people call it the Great Realignment. I think there's truth to both, right? People are leaving, but they're also realigning with things that maybe work for their lifestyles better, or with companies that are more aligned with what they believe in, or just maybe pay them better, or, you know, for whatever reason, right? And so the fact is, people are switching jobs for flexibility, for better pay, for remote work, for whatever reason. And that may include you or someone that you know. And so if you're evaluating a job offer for the first time or for the 10th time, this episode is for you. And the thing is, many times we get job offers and we don't fully understand what certain things mean. So I want to break down some key components of a job offer, but I'll also, I'll start with the common stuff, and then I'll delve into some complicated offer terms, especially when it relates to equity compensation. And for those of you that are getting into tech or companies that offer you stock options, and if you don't fully understand how to think about that, hopefully this episode will at least plant a seed to help you know how to start thinking about your full compensation package. All right, let's delve into the first thing, salary. We know what that one is, so I'm not going to spend too much time on that. So this is the number that we often focus on, and for good reason, right? It's a very important number. That's the cash we're taking home, well, after taxes and all those things, every month. So after graduate school, I had my master's degree in 2009, and I got my job offer from the firm I work for, and it was $50,000. Nice round number as my starting salary. And I will tell you, I was very happy, you know, because after I'd been earning $10 an hour in a factory, you come and get $50,000. I was quite happy. The numbers look good to me. And then aside from your salary, right, you have your benefits, including your paid time off, your pension for companies that do this. My company still does pension, even though I don't really count it when I think about my net worth. But yes, I do have access to a pension, at least for the time I've worked for the firm in the US, which is about 9 years. So I should look at what that's worth, Sha. The other aspect is your health insurance. Companies offer health stipends. That includes, like, you know, money towards fitness. Fertility benefits are important now, right? My firm started offering fertility benefits so that you could freeze your eggs, do IVF. And this year they just, you know, increased the extent of that coverage because those things are expensive. So that's something, if you're looking to have your eggs frozen, if you're looking to have a baby and you might need some of those options, that's a good thing to look into, because these things will cost tens of thousands of dollars. So if one company offers it and the other doesn't, that could be substantial. Of course, there are also parental benefits, right? Not just for the mom, but also for the dad. What type of time off do you provide after someone has a child, or even adopts a child, or even loses a baby? I think we're finding that more companies, at least in the US, are starting to also offer time off for when when parents, you know, lose a baby at different stages of pregnancy. And I think that's the step in the right direction. Of course, looking at your 401k match and vesting. And I'll talk about this one a little bit, right? Your 401k is, you know, it's your retirement account, right? And so many companies will offer a 401k or 403b, depending on what type of company you work for. And then some will offer a match. So say, when I first started working, it was very confusing to me, right? It was like 25% of my salary up to 6%. And so what that meant is 25% of 6% is 1.5%, but I have to contribute 6% to get that 1.5% match by my company. And then other companies will just say they'll match 50% up to 60%. So that's half of 6%, and that's 3% of your salary, but you have to contribute 6%. And others will just say 5% straight, which is honestly easier to understand, right? And then aside from understanding the matching, you need to understand the vesting. When do you vest in your company's match? So for me, I think the match vested after 3 years. So if I had left any time before 3 years, all of my company's contributions, I would not have gotten. I would have gotten what I put in, but I would not have gotten what my company put in before 3 years. Now, after that 3 years, if I leave today, I take everything the company has matched for me. So understand what the match is, but also understand what the vesting period is. And so one thing I also highlight is that if you have a long vesting period and you don't plan to be with the company, so let's say, you know, I'm putting in whatever into my 401k, and the total I can put in each year is maybe about $5,000, and the company is not matching anything. And that's the total I can put into my retirement each year. I think I would prefer to take that money and put it into my Roth IRA instead, because IRAs often have more investment options than a 401k, because without a match and without a match that you're vested in, you know, you're not really getting that much of that benefit of the 401k. So I would say, if that's the case, right, where the match is low or the match doesn't invest for a long time and you only have a smaller set of amount you can put away, you're better off putting that away towards your IRA first. And then once you've maxed your IRA, you can then put to your 401k. That's how I would, you know, think about it, right? And let me caveat at this point, this is not financial advice. This is for educational purposes only. Do not sue me. Please, you know, if you're trying to make a financial decision, do your own research and or talk to a financial expert. Okay, so we've talked about some of the basic offerings that companies offer. And then I want to get into, you know, equity compensation and what that really is, right? And so employees who receive this perk gain a stake in the company. So you own a portion of the company. You own partial ownership of the company's profits, of the business, right? And so startups that can't afford to pay huge salaries, right, they often include some form of stock benefits in their overall hiring packages to make their offers more competitive and to motivate their employees to do good work. And so, yes, I get what they're coming from, whether it's a startup or even their growth companies that offer, you know, stock compensation, like AT&T offers stock compensation, right? And so they do that to motivate people, because if you do a great job, the company will do well, right? And then overall, everybody will be in a good position. And so let's all benefit from that financially. There are two common types of equity compensation, and I'll talk about both and break that down, because that's something that you should understand in your job offer. So let's get into it now. The first is commonly called ESOP, Employee Stock Ownership Plan, or it could be called Employee Stock Purchase Plan. And so with this plan, what that means is this, it's just a fancy way for saying that you get to buy the company's stock at a discount from what it's worth outside. So for example, let's say I work at Apple and Apple stock, hypothetical, is $100, you know, out on the market today. Companies offer discounts between 10 to 15%. So let's say it's a 15% discount. So that means I could buy Apple stock for $85 because I work for Apple. And so you make an immediate profit since you're buying it at a discount, right? And so companies like Apple, Google, AT&T, and so on have these plans where they give their employees the option to buy company stock, right? And so the stock purchase plan is often free, you know, of broker fees and commissions. And some companies will also allow you to sell the stock commission-free through whatever investment banking firm or brokerage that they use. You can also, in many cases, reinvest your dividends and use your dividends to buy more stock. So that's called dividend reinvestment plan. dividend reinvesting. And I think it's an excellent benefit. And if I were working for a company like Apple or the Googles of the world, companies that are doing well, I would sign up immediately for the maximum allowable. And so, yes, there's always a limit. They usually allow you to do between 5 to 10% of your base salary, which is why that base salary is important. The higher negotiated base salary, a lot of things are based off of that, including your annual bonuses, for example. So anyway, you're often allowed to use a certain percentage of buy as much as a certain percentage of your base salary as the maximum allowable company stock you can buy. So let's say I'm allowed to get 10% and I'm making $100,000 a year. So I can put $10,000 towards Apple stock in a given year. And that's separate from the investments I'll be making in my 401k, for example. I think one thing to just highlight, I want to highlight in general, is that whether you're doing, you know, employee stock purchase plan or the other example, the other type I'll give, right? The thing I'll say there is to just be careful periodically and make sure you rebalance your overall portfolio to reduce your risk and exposure to one company. You can either sell your shares. There are many cases where you can sell them immediately or after a set period of time if you're looking to diversify. And so if your company offers this stock purchase plan, I would say read the terms to understand what the discount is, what the maximum amount is, and then when you can sell. So you can, people typically kind of have a plan over time that helps them get to their overall ideal portfolio setup. You know, because for example, if I'm putting, you know, $10,000 a year into Apple stock and all of that stuff, and that's wonderful, you know, but then I get overexposed to Apple because if Apple goes down today, you know, I will lose a lot. So just making sure that, yes, this company is doing well and people have done amazing things with these. Just make sure that you're within your own risk appetite and you have a balanced portfolio, whatever that is, you know, to you. Okay, the second form of equity compensation that most people will see is called RSUs, and that means restricted stock units. And so if you get an offer with Amazon, if you get an offer with Apple, if you get an offer with Facebook, they should certainly offer you this. So a lot of tech companies offer these, and a lot of non-tech companies as well offer these days as a key component of your compensation package, right? And so in the past, when you hear about restricted stock units or RSUs, as they call it, they typically used to be awarded to higher level management or executives. And so if you're someone that's like, what's this? If you want to look up a public company, just say Coca-Cola or say Apple and look up their SEC filings. They usually have a proxy document that they file with the SEC every year. And that includes, it details their executive compensation, executive and director compensation. And you'll be able to see how much people got paid in cash, but also what they got in bonuses and also what they got in restricted stock units. And so before, back in the days, it used to be only for the higher up people. But now they're offered to employees, right? Because when you pay your employees well, and when they have a stake in the company, they feel, you know, it's a different level of commitment, right? When you own the company. And so anyway, in 2015, Apple made waves in the news when they made RSUs available to all employees, including those that worked at the Apple stores, which is great. A friend of mine started at Apple last year and got a significant portion of her sign-on bonus in restricted stock units. And then when she got her performance appraisal this year, she was also awarded more stock options, restricted stock awards. And so I'll be honest, as an outsider looking in, this looked good. And from a company that's doing well, I'm like, get your coins, right? But let me clarify the difference between RSUs and the employee stock options or employee stock purchase plans that I talked about earlier. So RSUs, restricted stock units, substantially differ from the purchase program, right? And that many people are familiar with. And with the stock option or purchase plan, you buy stock at a discount, that 15% discount I talked about, but you still have to buy the stock for something. With an RSU, you get the stock without paying for it. Well, technically, you pay for it by working for the company, but you don't pay anything. You're not out cash when you get the stock. And so most commonly how it works is this: you get RSUs as part of your sign-on package and then annually based on your performance, right? And most commonly they vest, by vesting, I mean, they become fully yours, right? Over a 4-year period. That's the most common thing I see companies have. So for example, Let's say, you know, I start at Apple tomorrow and they're giving me 100 Apple shares as part of that package. And it's vesting over 4 years. So 100 divided by 4 is 25 shares per year become fully mine for the next 4 years, right? And so I can do whatever I want. You know, each year I get 25, I can keep it. If I believe that, you know, Apple is going to do well, I can keep it, or I can sell it as soon as that vesting time has passed. And so in that 4 year period, I have 100 that I can do whatever I fully own every 25 every year. But then given that next year I get a performance appraisal, I'll get more that will now start another 4 year cycle. That's typically how it works. So people usually have some companies will have a schedule where you can kind of see what you have. Otherwise, I think you should always kind of have a general idea in your mind of what that is. So always know what your vesting period is. And so consider that when planning, if you're looking to leave the company. So if you're trying to get, okay, you're going to have a ton of stock vest in like 6 months, don't leave. Stay the 6 months, get your stock, let it vest, and then you can go. There's nothing like leaving and missing out on vested shares just out of poor planning or just lack of education. I can't tell you how many YouTube finance videos I've watched where people have said one of their big mistakes is leaving before they vested. And it was simply because they did not understand how it worked. And that's why I'm doing this episode today, right? So stock options are paid, you know, in stocks. You buy at a discount, you get the stock. And then RSUs, you can be paid in stocks when it vests. Or many companies will offer the option where you can be paid in cash. And so what's better? I think both are great benefits, right? Assuming it's a company you believe in and a company that will continue to do well. If you don't believe in the company, then I don't know why you're still working for the company, right? And something is wrong with your whole compensation package, because this is part of the overall package that you're getting. And so one thing I want to highlight is that there are tax considerations. I'm not a tax expert, so I would say do your research on the tax considerations of when you either sell your RSUs. What does that mean? I know you'll have to pay tax. There's something about paying tax, you know, at your regular tax bracket. So the taxes can be high depending on your circumstances. So please look into that. And so to help manage the tax liability, I know that there are companies that will give the employees the option to, you know, withhold some of the restricted stock units to pay for taxes that will owe when they're vested. So that way, if, for example, I have 25 that are vesting, when I think about the tax that it would calculate if I sell them, it will be a tax worth the value of, you know, 3 stocks. So that way, then when I vest, I take on, you know, the remaining 22 and the 3 is withheld so that will cover my taxes. So that's another way that companies can help employees kind of manage that. But overall, you know, stepping back, we've talked about your employee benefits. I think just like your cash salary, you should negotiate your equity compensation. So for example, a company offering you a $75,000 cash salary with 20,000 of restricted stock units, right? That would vest over the next 4 years. And so when I think about that, right, if the value of the company's stock stays the same over the next 4 years, you can expect to receive $5,000 in stock each year. And so that's the 20,000 vesting over 4 years divided by the 4 years. So that's 5,000 per year. So when I think about your overall compensation for the year, it is the 75,000 in your cash salary plus the 5,000, your 1 year stock that's vesting. So that's an overall 80,000 compensation, cash plus stock. And so when I think about that, if I was looking to get something more like $90,000 in overall, then it would tell me that I need to negotiate for more. I can negotiate for more cash, or I can negotiate for more RSUs, or I can negotiate for a combination of both, right? And so to get to my desired income, I would say that because stock compensation is more tied to the success of the companies, employers tend to prefer to give more stock option over more cash, but keep that in mind, right? But generally, the idea is that it should be a win-win situation. You do your job well, the company does well, we do well collectively, we own the company together. It's a win-win situation. But again, to highlight, when accepting a job offer, right, make sure you understand how the benefits of stock equity compensation works, right? And also mitigate the risks that come with it, right? And the very first step is just first understanding all the jargon that comes with it, understanding the language, right? But also on an ongoing basis, make sure you're evaluating how that works for your portfolio. So when you agree to any type of equity compensation, make sure you're careful about how much you want to hold at a point in time. Because yes, for example, if I started working at Tesla 10 years ago and I've held on to all my stock for all those 10 years and now they've done great, of course, that's a success story. But there's a flip side of it, right? Because there are companies that have gone out of business. If I was working at Blockbuster, right, you know, 20 years ago and I never sold any stock, I held on to everything, I've pretty much lost everything. So there is some wisdom to considering how much do you want to concentrate all your investments in one entity. And I would say, you know, generally it's just not a great place, a great thing to do to have everything concentrated in one company. Make sure you diversify, right? If I were the one, just me saying what I would do, yes, I would keep on that. I would keep a lot of the stuff, but I would sell some periodically and use that and just invest in a broad S&P 500 index fund, right? That way I'm diversifying my risk, but I'm still taking advantage of the benefit offered to me by my company. We've seen how economic downturns can change things, right? And can really have an effect on people's financial sense of financial safety and security, right? So at the beginning of the pandemic, the Amazon, the Zooms, they saw crazy gains, right? And stocks like airline stocks and hotel stocks just tanked, right? And now Zoom on the flip side has gone down, right? And so just making sure you're aware of the times and the risk and making decisions accordingly is what I would, you know, generally recommend and what I would do for myself. I talked to a CEO of a startup that went public recently, and he was so proud of the fact that the stock options that they gave their employees that they were finally able to sell made such a big difference in the lives of their employees that have been with them from when they were really nothing, right? He talked about how, you know, some employees were able to sell stock and afford down payments on their first homes. Some were able to pay for their kids' weddings and so on. And so that's the beauty of it when you're vested and you're committed to the mission and then it comes through, right? Doesn't always happen. Work out for startups. That's also a fact and a risk. So it boils down to this for me, right? No matter your situation, the main question I always want to ask myself when it comes to equity compensation is this. What does my financial picture look like if the company stock is cut in half or goes to zero today? Of course, it will hurt everybody. If everything you have is in that company, it will completely destroy your finances. Whereas if you have kind of balanced things over time, you know, you'll still be able to, you know, make something work. So we've talked about, you know, your salary, your benefits and negotiating for all of those. We've talked about equity compensation. And the last thing is just, you know, annual bonuses. Some companies pay annual bonuses and other companies, you know, do not. And so just mainly they're tied to a percentage of your base salary. So if you accept a low base salary and everything else is based off of that, then, you know, that would impact on your cash that you take home for your annual bonus. But hopefully this conversation, you know, I think hopefully it helps plant some seeds. Hopefully it breaks down some elements of compensation that have been typically maybe harder for people to grasp. And if you want me to talk more on this topic or break any piece down even more, send me an email or just send me a DM on Instagram and I'll be happy to do that. Happy Thanksgiving. And we are almost in December. I hope you're safe. I hope you're healthy. And wherever you are, I hope that you are thriving through whatever season that you're in. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful, wonderful day. Hey there. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the Rich Immigrant Podcast. Before you go, I'd like you to know that there will always be room for you at this table. And as I wrap this up, I'd like to ask for your help with a few things to help support and amplify the message of the podcast. First, please subscribe. Click the subscribe button and that way you're notified of new episodes. Second, if you enjoyed this episode, please rate and review the podcast. That way you're signaling to Apple that the content here is, you know what, popping, and you amplify our message to other potential listeners. And last but not least, please follow us on Instagram at The Rich Immigrant. And as we go out into the world, I hope that you're encouraged to show up and live fully in whatever country you've chosen to call home.
Ciao. Bye. Odabo. See you next time.